And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Steffi Barnett. Today on the show, Bristol's dynamic duo from FM Mayhem to Diabolical DAB. All will be revealed.
And the January Brews. It is that time of year when some people struggle a bit. We'll be talking about it and what you can potentially do to mitigate
all
it.
All that and more.
Today, right here on Shout Out.
I did it this week.
Lara will be very proud of you.
Oh, thank you. I'm proud of Lara too.
So, well, she says someone has to fill her. I mean, there are rather big boots to fill, to be fair, when she's not here.
What size does she take?
I think she admits to size nines, but I think
I'm size nine.
Yeah. Well, I don't think she's. I think she might be kidding, Joe.
Very possibly.
I don't think she got size nines. No. Anyone seen the latest Star Trek? Started today.
Oh, Starfleet Academy.
Yeah.
Another new one.
Yeah. No.
Don't tell me. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. I had to Google where it was in the Star Trek universe, time wise.
Isn't it after the other series?
It's Discovery. Yeah. When they went 700 years into the future, so it's that getting back together.
Oh, is it? Right, yeah. Okay. I thought it was after Strange New Worlds.
Yeah, I can't get to grips with...
You're looking completely confused about this. You're not a Star Trek fan.
I'm not against it, but I just don't watch it.
I question your gayness.
That was fairly polite.
Are you Traitors fans?
Yes.
Are you?
I do like
Traitors. We have to be careful, because I promised Lucy we won't tell her what happened last night, because she's not up to date yet. So, but interesting, isn't it? Did you like the twist with the red cloak?
I haven't seen that bit yet.
Really? This series?
Yeah.
Oh, that's like episode one.
So, yeah.
Are you not watching the current series?
I'm literally... That's what I'm going to be binging at the weekend.
Oh, okay.
But I watched the Celebrity one, and I watched the other seasons.
I'm more of a Star Trek, actually.
So, oh, yeah. This one knows what you're on about.
Are you going to watch the new series, then?
The new series of Traitors. I think I watched the first one, and then I thought I could be a really good traitor. And I just want to go on it now.
And Star Trek, are you going to watch
Star Trek? I think probably won't go on Star Trek, but... No, I love Star Trek.
You could merge them, couldn't you, and have Star Traitors?
Star Trek.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
I love a bit of Star Trek, actually. I think it might be a gay thing.
So is Man How Much Has Actually Come True? I mean, I remember watching it as a kid and going, they walk around with those tablets and like, wouldn't it be cool if we could do that with a computer one day? Now we've all got one, you know?
I remember watching it as a kid. Is the one with like Spock in the one with the thing across his eyes and everything, yeah?
Yeah.
That's Next Generation.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Come on, Emma Jake, get it right.
All right.
Geordie LaForge. Geordie LaForge.
I've seen those ones.
Yeah. They're great. They're great stories. Yeah.
But you've seen the first episode. Is it good? Don't tell us what happened, but is it good?
They've dropped the first two. So the first one is extended, and then the second one is a normal series one.
Loads
great,
of TV to
great
watch.
Great start to the show. And also that they've got the 60th anniversary opening. And they got all the starships going through at warp speed. Some of them I didn't recognise, but I can't get to grips with the ships that are like up into the Discovery era when they went 700 years in the future, where the port nacelles, they're not attached.
Oh my God, now we're getting really
starboard nacelles, they're not attached.
Weird.
So the ship just backs into it and they just follow along. It is.
I mean, Voyager is still my favourite, but I was a teenager when that came out.
Yeah,
so
Voyager. Voyager.
It was. I mean, Catherine Janeway was just the best captain ever.
I did like Voyager.
Lucy's
I think the worst one was Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, that was boring.
Crossroads in Space, it got called.
It was all right.
I quite enjoyed it.
Maybe even Neighbours, even worse.
Yeah, it had a lot of political stuff in it and a lot of religious stuff.
A lot of character-driven. storylines, wasn't
But this one, Starfleet Academy, I thought was going to be a soap opera, but it's not.
I know it's got the Doctor in it, the hologram from Voyager.
They're also travelling around.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, do you want me to tell you about this, the Athena?
No, okay. Not yet. No. Let me watch it, we'll talk about it next week.
It's girlish.
Is it? So, cause that's the funny thing with traitors. I mean, in Bristol, it's traitors, isn't it? Didham.
I don't know. I don't speak Bristolian.
I can't believe you don't watch Traitors.
No. I don't like anything like
it
that.
It is good. There's lots of decent TV on at the moment. It's kind of what you need, especially with like Winter Blues.
Winter Nights.
I think what put me off was Big Brother when they were. It was live all night when it first started. And they were showing people sleeping. And
like, they did, didn't they?
Yeah.
I thought, well, if that's reality TV, no thanks.
No, Traitors is nothing like Big Brother.
No. And it's not really reality TV. It's competition.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, Big Brother did get a bit boring watching people. And the arguments they used to have over stupid things.
I mean, has that reality TV had its day now? You know, it's been replaced by Traitors and other things, hasn't it? You know?
Yeah, I didn't know until recently, though. Traitors is based on a university game.
Oh, you mentioned that.
They used to sit in a circle of chairs and play it. And it was Thieves and Villagers. But it'd be a game that'd be over in like an hour or so. It's not like the TV show. The TV show is an adaptation of it. That's absolutely you've seen how bonkers it is, you know. So yeah, if you haven't seen this current series, you're in for a few surprises.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to binge it the weekend.
They do that classic. They keep things fresh for each one because Claudia's always said, "No, this is the last one I'll ever do. Last one I'll ever do." And then the producers come back, "Claudia, we've had this idea." She's like, "So." Yeah.
What about?
I don't know how you've managed to avoid all the spoilers.
I know, I've done really well. Really, really well.
I mean,
reality radio?
Yes.
You like a little bit of Big Brother, though, don't you?
Yes.
I think the last time I watched Big Brother, it was Nasty Nick in it. How long ago was that?
Oh, that was like the first
season one. Yeah, that was the first one.
There we go. I really love Big Brother.
Oh, yes, he did, didn't he? He wrote things down.
And that was the drama.
Yeah.
He had a pencil and a bit of paper.
And it was a tiny little cabin type thing, wasn't it? It wasn't the big house that it ended up being. So, anyway, sorry, do you want to introduce our guest? I mean, we're already talking, so but do you want to do the polite thing?
Well, it's pretty much a world exclusive because no one knew the identity of the Bristolian dynamic duo.
Oh, wow.
We've got the Mike Marauder and Radio Ranger.
Is that me?
I'm the Ranger. Chris and Emma from GBH and Pillow Talk. Now, I question...
That's getting Bristol home for those of you who don't know.
We all know that gay men can dance, right?
Right.
As soon as you put on Tragedy by the Bee Gees, that's it.
I see what's coming now.
But it's got to be Steps, not Tragedy.
You put something on Facebook and TikTok and Insta, didn't you, about dancing? Now, you were quite good. Emma?
Yeah, Emma J was...
I tried my best.
But Chris, come on, I question your gayness.
I mean, to be fair, I tried, and it's trying that counts, isn't it?
Can I just put out there, Chris doesn't let us go home until we've done these TikToks. That's the only reason I do them. I'm like, for goodness sake, we do the show, and he's like, right, TikTok time. I'm like, right, okay.
It is huge, TikTok.
Yeah.
It is the way forward, hence why we are... starting to like use that platform.
I think it's just such a variety of things on it as well, and I see some of the radio stations on it as well, which is really good. So yeah, it can
I think
go from
for everyone on TikTok.
Yeah, it can go from like one video and then all of a sudden it's, you know, 500,000 views, 1,000,000 views, etc. So
tell us the story behind what happened with this.
Well, I thought actually we could Diane to ask Emma J about pageantry. Now, we've had you on a few times, haven't we, on the show?
Yes.
In fact, you joined the team for a short period.
Yes.
So what is the latest with that, Emma?
Well, the last competition I did was in Miami when I did Miss World International. That was in 2023. Then I've had a bit of a 2-year break to kind of reset, rebuild my life and things like that. And I haven't actually told anyone yet, so exclusive for you. In May, I'm actually going to Orlando to compete in Miss Universe, representing the United Kingdom.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I didn't think I was going to go back. I thought I was done, but...
I remember talking to you, and you're like, it's a lot of work. I don't know if I could do
it
again. It
is, yeah, it
is. What made you decide to do it again, then?
I've just kind of encouraged into it, really, and I did miss it. I missed being part of it, and the opportunity came up, because I didn't manage to go back to the States for my handover for Miss World. And then a director got in contact with me and was just like, look, we're interested in taking you on to like Miss Universe. And I was like, are you sure? Do you like, are you got the right person? So yeah, so I'm looking for a sponsor at the moment. Everything's a bit crazy. I've only got till May, and I need to kind of cram in about 12 months work in the next, like, what have I got, 4.5 months? 5 months.
Yeah. It's halfway through January already.
So I'm just like, I will be doing that.
And you've just recorded a record, have you not?
Yeah, I did. I didn't record it to release it, and that hasn't officially been released as yet.
But we have a copy.
But yes, you have a copy, and it is on the cards. But my other half is a music artist and kind of works in that, and he's like, right, okay, you should release this. So yeah, and I might use it for my talent round as well in pageantry. But I made it for him because, you know, I wanted to kind of communicate with him in his world and his language, so I decided to make him a song. And now it's being played everywhere.
So for those that didn't hear the show we've done with you before about pageantry, do you want to give a quick synopsis of what it entails? Because a lot of people, like, they see the big bit when you're on the stage, but there's a lot more to it than that, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, most people think of the film Miss Congeniality and like that one on reality TV, Tiaras and Toddlers, when they spray tanning children. It's not like that at all. I like to call it like a glamorous brownies or girl guides. So for the 12 months before finals, you are...
Is there any spray tan?
Yes.
There is. Right?
There is loads of spray tan. If you want to be spray tanned, you don't have to be. I'm a bit pasty, so I do like a spray tan, I'm not going to lie. But 12 months beforehand, you need to get involved in the community. You need to be doing your charity fundraising, your projects. And that all goes towards the end score as well. It's not just about the bit on the stage, which everyone sees and thinks of when they think beauty pageant. They just think, oh, big dresses and swimwear. There's a lot more to it than that. It's like a big sisterhood.
Cool. So have you started organising any of that yet? Or is that what you've got to plan in the next 5 months?
I do have my gown.
Right.
So at least I have one thing.
So, but and let me guess, you can't wear the one you wore last time. You have to start from scratch again, do you?
Yeah, I mean, you can if you wanted to, but it's not really a... I mean, who wears the same outfit twice? Come on.
Well, true. I'm a gay man, so I'm not going to disagree. Oh, okay.
Well, any kind of like lipsticks as well out there, like any femmes.
Yeah, I have that problem all the time.
We don't wear the same outfit twice. You've got at least like accessorised differently. So
it sounds like you end up carrying an awful lot across to Orlando as well, though. I mean, do you end up with like tons of suitcases?
Yes, and the last time my case nearly didn't get on the flight because it was too heavy, and I came out and I had a big, massive, like heavy tag on it. But they let me off, and I didn't have to pay any extra. So,
well, that was very nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, I flashed the sash and the crown, and they were like, "Okay, we'll let you on. We understand why." And I'm like, "It's full of shoes."
Chris, you're involved with drag queens, aren't you?
Yes, probably for the last 15 years or so, I have hosted events in Bristol, and I DJ and host drag nights regularly at Seamus O'Donnell's.
Lovely place.
Like Seamus O'Donnell's. Like a little bit of Seamus. So I DJ there every other Friday, and then I host drag nights and things. But generally, I've been involved in Bristol nightlife probably for the last 15 years since I moved to Bristol from Devon. So I get involved in DJing. At one point, I was doing nightlife photography and anything creative. So obviously, radio is my biggest passion, but DJing as well. Always wanted to be a mobile DJ when I was younger.
Hard work.
I had me tape deck and everything. And
did you not get around to doing that?
No, I think at the time I was doing it whilst I was at school, and then when I went to college, it got a little bit too much because when I was at school, I was like probably started when I was 15 or 16, just doing little parties and things. And then saving up to buy more equipment, and then it evolved into me doing it quite regularly, and I couldn't quite do it with college at the same time. And then retail life took over, and the day job, and yeah.
Are you a glutton for punishment?
Yeah.
Because we know a lot of drag queens, and they all openly admit their hard work.
Oh yes. Yes, and always, I mean,
there's nothing worse than a gaggle of divas in the corner in a room about to go on stage.
And they're always on time. They're dead on time. You know, they're just like clockwork, always on time.
Especially Miss Jam Tart. I'm just going to put it out there.
Miss Jam Tart. Yeah, and I've probably started doing some intros and voiceovers and things for drag queens and drag kings and drag thems.
So there's a big scene here in Bristol for it. There's
Yeah. I mean, I'm not too into RuPaul. But that's really kicked off in Emma J's looking at me funny now.
I know. How dare you.
Absolutely binge watches every episode.
But like it or not, it did shoot drag kings and queens.
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
Definitely.
To be known. And in a time when we've got people moaning about pantos and having drag queens in it, you know, it's kind of one of those things you need, don't you think?
Yeah. And I think I'm a little bit more old school drag, so.
You like the old innuendo and the lip-syncing.
Our socials go wild, don't they, when we've interviewed a drag queen?
Always, yes.
It's always very, very big on social media.
Yeah, they are massive. It's huge...
very big on stage too.
Yeah, we quite regularly speak to Miss Jam Tart, who was on the Bristol Pride cabaret stage.
Yes, yeah. Shout out award winner as well.
Yeah.
She is.
Yes. Yeah,
along with someone else I know.
Who's that?
I don't know.
just some little show on the station.
Some little show. but yeah, always been involved in creative things in Bristol, LGBTQ+ as well. Aside from doing the boring retail day job.
Well, it stops you getting the January blues, which we're going to be talking about later. Do either of you suffer with it much, or is it?
Yes,
you do.
Massively.
I find it horrible. We're going to be talking about it in the latter part of the show, but it's that time of year, isn't it? Christmas and New Year's gone. You haven't got the stuff to look forward to. It's dark. It's grey.
No money.
Yeah.
I think it's when you're so busy over Christmas, and then it's a quiet period of time, and you know, myself and Emma with doing the radio and the shows and bits and pieces, it's we're really, really busy.
Are you going to help Emma with the bags going to Orlando?
I'm another entrant.
he's part of Team UK. I've employed him as my media manager.
So have you got contingency plans for your shows? While you're away?
You know, I didn't really think about it until Emma J's just mentioned it. I think we'll we've got DJ Pam Pam that joins us on Getting Bristol Home. She'll take over a little bit of Emma J's side of stuff. And then Pillow Talk. We've got a few interviews lined up for Pillow Talk. We'll miss you still, though, Emma J.
No, I won't be gone for that long.
If you are listening on other stations, Pillow Talk's a show here on BCFM. We're worth a listen to. It's a brilliant show. So it's going strong. It's been a while now, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a year. Oh, it was a year September. So
was it?
How long ago is that now?
15 months.
Yeah,
15 months. Yeah. Mm.
Oh, gosh.
So yeah, still going strong.
Ooh. Yeah. So, well, listen, we're running out of time. Lovely to have you on. And it's great to hear you going back to the pageant again. You know you're going to have to keep us informed of how it goes. And,
definitely.
And the like. So,
I'll bring my winner's crown back in when I win it.
If you're interested in sponsoring Emma, do get in touch either through us or through BCFM. And I'm sure we can pass it on. Because these things are not cheap, are they? So, anyone that's willing to help, let us know. So, But how would you like to hear Emma sing?
Yes.
Well, not how would you like. I know how you like it, but would you like to hear Emma?
You're putting me on the spot.
I've heard it. But
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, for the listeners, here you go. This is called My Heart Knows.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Very
loved
nice.
That.
Very
absolutely
nice.
Loved it.
So, did you say you were going to put that out overnight?
I'm going to put it in the overnight playlist. Yeah, for the chill out zone.
Marvellous.
Sort of fits very well with what goes out overnight.
Marvellous. Hello, Lucy. How are you?
Hello. I'm very well, thank you. Voyager was the best Star Trek, and Janeway was the best captain.
I'm pleased you agree.
It's not up for discussion. It's not a debate. Yeah.
So, right, are you ready to give us some news?
Yeah.
That's what we are.
This is Shout Out News. Welcome along.
Paris court has found 10 individuals guilty of cyberbullying Brigitte Macron, the wife of the French president. The defendants were convicted for spreading malicious falsehoods concerning her gender and sexuality alongside the couple's age difference. The court handed down suspended prison sentences of up to 8 months for most of the 8 men and 2 women involved. One defendant received an immediate jail term for failing to attend court. Others had their social media accounts suspended. The judge stated the group had acted with a clear intent to harm the First Lady, posting degrading and insulting remarks. The conspiracy theory targeting the First Lady has circulated online since President Macron's election in 2017. The couple married in 2007. Monday's ruling precedes a major defamation lawsuit filed by the Macrons in the United States against right-wing commentator Candice Owens, who has repeatedly amplified false claims about Ms. Macron's gender. The presidential couple, who initially sought to ignore online gossip, decided last year to legally challenge the conspiracy theorists due to an escalating scale of the attacks.
A powerful coalition of civil society groups, trade unions, faith organisations and cultural figures is gearing up for a major unity demonstration against the far right in London on Saturday, 28th of March. The event is organised by the Together Alliance, which launched late last year in response to the growing threat of far-right movements across Britain. The Together Alliance has attracted over 80 organisations and hundreds of prominent individuals. Supporters include political figures such as MP Zara Sultana, Dawn Butler and Stella Creasy, trade unions such as Unite, Unison and the PCS and the TUC, campaign groups such as Palestine Solidarity Campaign, Friends of the Earth and Stop the War, cultural voices such as Sir Lenny Henry, Paloma Faith, Steve Coogan and many more. The alliance was formed amid rising far-right activity, including mass rallies led by figures such as Tommy Robinson and the electoral surge of Reform UK. Organisers say the demonstration aims to reject narratives of division and racism and build solidarity across communities. Tom Kay, a Unison representative and Stand Up to Racism supporter, stressed the importance of grassroots mobilisation, saying, "We are speaking to the Palestine Coalition, the Greens, Muslim organisations and anti-racist community groups. We want people to feel confident and able to organise. It can be easy to be demoralised by the barrage of racist populism and the spinelessness of the Labour leadership. We need to bridge the gap between where we are now and where we would like to be in terms of an anti-racist movement. How to get involved? Activists are hosting mobilising meetings, booking transport and distributing campaign materials nationwide. The Together Alliance invites individuals and organisations to join the march and sign its unity statement at togetheralliance.org.uk.
The Charity Commission has confirmed it is conducting an ongoing investigation into the trans-exclusive feminist group Sex Matters. The confirmation follows a complaint made to the regulator by Jaylon Maugham QC, founder of the Good Law Project. Maugham's complaint centres on Sex Matters' decision to platform activist Richard Dunstan, who had made comments speculating about Maugham's childhood experience of sexual assault. In its response, the Charity Commission stated, "The issues you have raised have been passed to the regulatory compliance team. Sex Matters, which campaigns on matters of sex and gender and has been publicly supported by the millionaire author Joanne Rowling, has not responded to requests for comment on the investigation. The group is not currently a registered charity, but operates as a not-for-profit organisation. The Good Law Project has previously been involved in legal action concerning the charitable status of groups involved in debates on gender identity. For example, it funded a challenge by the trans youth charity Mermaids against the Charities Commission decision to register an anti-trans gender LGB group called the LGB Alliance."
BBC News and BBC Radio Bristol are reporting a film and TV studio where shows such as The Outlaws and Borders were filmed is offering free training to minority groups hoping to have careers behind the camera. All Set West, based at the Bottle Yard Studios in Bristol, said it will help people from the West learn the skills needed for an on-set career, saying the course is open to anyone who is underrepresented in the industry, including women, minorities, LGBTQ+ people, and those with disabilities. Jane Coulter from All Set West said, "Our training is all about preparing people for the reality of working as a freelancer in different departments so they can step onto set with their eyes wide open." The 5-week training programme, funded by the British Film Institute, National National Lottery Places Fund focuses on confidence building, set etiquette and work readiness, and how to find work as a freelancer, among other things. Ellie Luxton, 33, from South Gloucestershire, said without the course, she would not have had the opportunity to land a locations assistant role on the new BBC comedy Can You Keep a Secret, starring Dawn French. It has completely changed my life, she said.
And finally, what Andy would call gay monkeys are back in the news. LGBTQ Nation reports on a new study published in the journal Nature, Ecology and Evolution, which reveals that same-sex behaviours and homosexual relationships and bonding are common in over 1,500 higher mammalian species, including 59 groups of primates, the family of dexterous, intelligent creatures to which humans belong. The study's author researched 96 peer-reviewed studies documenting homosexuality to compile one of the most comprehensive data sets for primates to date. The study found that same-sex behaviours are a persistent and integral component of primate social practice. In fact, the prevalence of homosexual behaviours across a variety of closely related primate species predates a deep evolutionary root or multiple independent evolutionary origins, the study's authors wrote. This strongly indicates an origin for homosexuality long before the rise of anatomically modern humans around 200,000 years ago. Past theories, according to LGBTQ Nation, have suggested that animals exhibit same-sex behaviours to increase group cohesion or to signal dominance. LGBTQ Nation's Daniel Villarreal reports social cohesion was likely a possible reason for same-sex behaviours, since they found the occurrence of homosexuality was more likely in primate species that live in drier environments where food is scarce and the threat of predators is high. Either way, the conclusion is that homosexuality is a social advantage for the species in which it commonly occurs, and that it is an important part and parcel of the natural order.
And that's it for news this week, but do check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt for more content. And don't stop there. LGBTQIA podcasts, radio stations, video bloggers and bookshops need your support. Have a look around at what is available in your area and make use of these vital community resources. For Shoutout News, this has been Lucy Potter
and Terry Starr.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Hey, yo, a bit of euphoria.
Oh, that was nice.
It was, yeah. That was a Eurovision one, wasn't it?
Was it really?
Mm. Yeah,
because Eurovision's coming up in May. That'll come around before
it's going to be interesting this year, isn't it? A lot of controversy.
There is, and I'm not sure whether it's.
I saw Conchita Wurst as distance. Well, the guy that plays Conchita Wurst has distanced himself from Eurovision, saying, "Thank you, you set me up in my career, but I'm off to do other things."
Right,
etc.
That's interesting because, obviously, the Eurovision Song Contest was never intended to be political, although occasionally political things have crept in. I think in the late 1970s, the Lapland peoples, the Sami people of northern Norway and Sweden, did a protest song, and there have been elements when it's gone political. But, you know, it was never intended to be about the Israel-Palestine conflict, but it has obviously blown up a little bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. At the moment, we're still in.
The BBC still funds it. It's one of the key funders of the Eurovision Song Contest.
They were part of funding Eurovision itself, weren't they?
Yeah, well, the European Broadcasting Union puts on Eurovision and various other pan-European broadcast events.
So I hope it does. Yeah. I hope it does come out. I enjoy Eurovision.
I do as well, but we'll see what happens. Yeah. It's going to be controversial, whatever happens.
It's a chance to go really gay and...
Oh, it's the gay FA Cup, isn't it?
It is,
yeah. Halloween is the gay Christmas.
Are you fans of Eurovision?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do like it. I mean, I'm kind of stepping back a little bit from it, from the political controversy, but I do enjoy it when it's on.
I do enjoy it. I like the music. I like the fact that there is a... a sort of Eurovision signature song. Like, you know it's a Eurovision song. It will start out like really heavy and choral, and it'll be really like lyrical and baddie, and then it'll just halfway through just drop into a really hardcore techno track, and you'll be like, oh yeah, no, that's Eurovision, that's what they've done. Yeah,
don't forget the key change as well.
And the key change. And if there's more, if there is moving scenery and somebody is wearing leather and interacting with the moving scenery, then I think you've hit peak Eurovision.
Euro gold.
Yeah, that is.
You're in a fantastic club.
On key change, you've got to have big lights and fire up the sides. Oh, yeah.
There's got to be fire.
Stuff, haven't you? Yeah. No, it's fun. I enjoy it. So, when's that, May? Is it?
First week in May. Second week in May.
Yeah. We say it's ages away. It'll come flying round. So, now it's that time of year, isn't it?
Dark January nights.
So, I think we've just been past. What's often classed as one of the worst days of the year, which is like
I think it was Blue Monday, this last Monday gone, wasn't it? Which is not really a scientific consideration, but somebody put together so many weeks after Christmas, so many weeks before payday, average temperature and average length of day, and they came up with the most depressing day of the year. And lots of people do struggle during January and that. But
I don't think the weather's helping either down here, is it?
No. Although we were very lucky. We escaped that storm, didn't we? That sadly hit those slightly further south of us, down like Devon, Cornwall. They had a really rough, like 99-mile-an-hour wind type thing, didn't they? And we were due to get snow. I was like, oh, snow in Bristol. It never snows in Bristol.
Yeah, Bristol is very lucky. It's protected, isn't it, by the hills. Yeah. We rarely get snow. And when we do, then the rest of the country snowed in.
It's funny. I work in an international company, and we've got an office in Denver, in Colorado. And when it snows there, it's like 6 foot.
Yeah.
And everything carries on as normal. Yeah. Here, of course, we get a slight dusting, and it's like, oh dear, no. Oh, ground to a halt. No trains. No nothing.
Well, that's right. But the thing is, really harsh winters are quite rare in the UK when we get lots and lots of snow, and therefore it's not really practical to invest in all the infrastructure that the Russians have, or the Canadians have, or Denver has.
And as army, we should actually be colder, but the jet stream protects us a lot, or something like that.
Yeah, they have an Atlantic wind coming in.
So, but then we have gone past the shortest day of the year. So, one good thing is it is slowly getting lighter in the evenings. Well, I say evenings, it's afternoon at the moment. I look today, I'm like, it's 4:30, it's not dark.
Yes. Yeah. Gradually the days are stretching out and becoming lighter on an evening, and it's starting to become noticeable.
So what kind of things can people do if they're feeling a bit down this time of year? What kind of advice would we give them?
You could go for a walk. You can talk to somebody. You can talk to the Samaritans if you're feeling really down. And you can talk to Gay Switchboard, which I think you've got the numbers for. The piece that Tara did very kindly.
Yes, which we're trying
compiling some notes, which we'll put on the website.
We'll put it out with the show.
Yeah.
Long story short, I need to post a page with it on. But yeah, what kind of the signs that people should look out for in themselves or in others that could be indicators that actually someone could do with some help, or you know, talking to someone professional, or you know, what triggers things this time of year?
I'm not a mental health professional, and it would be great if Ezra was here. We should be able to sort of tell us some of the warning signs. But you know, if people are becoming very introverted, that's a sign of clinical depression. It can be, and if you have low mood for 3 weeks or more, then they do recommend you approach the NHS. You can dial 111, and I think option 2 is to speak to a mental health professional, and go to your GP, of course. They're always there to support and advise.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a time of year where keeping yourself active is a really good thing.
Yeah, there was a discussion on daytime television the other day, which I just happened to have on in the background when I was working, and they did discuss whether GPs should be prescribing exercise for moderate to mild depression. And the point was made, I mean, for severe clinical issues, it's not going to touch it. But getting out of the house and getting a breath of fresh air can blow away those Monday blues or Sunday blues in January. You know, you could go swimming, or you could take to a gym even, which
I love the way you laugh like you never touch a chip.
Touch a chip.
We're going tomorrow, aren't we, Terry?
I was going to say, yeah. Steph signed you up for Christmas.
Tomorrow's back in arms. That's what we're doing.
Back in arms.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, there are other things as well. I mean, especially if, like, say, for example, you may be new to the area or things have changed and you're more on your own, getting yourself out and... you know, go, I don't know, pub quiz or find a book club or those kind of things. Interacting with people is a very good way.
Yeah, and Bristol is a city full of community centres. Mm. I mean, we broadcast from one of them and there's always something going on. There's a cafe, there's warm weather clubs, there's book clubs, so on and so forth.
I tell you a good thing that can help is just go into a coffee shop in the morning and sitting and maybe reading a book or just sitting with a coffee and because you're not alone. Yeah. You're surrounded by people. There's a hubbub always going on and an atmosphere.
I just want to shout out, because this is a Bristol and South West focused LGBT radio show, that if you are looking for community, the Bristol Queer Directory, which is this amazing Google Doc, which got started about sort of a year and a half ago, which has got an amazing list of almost every single LGBT business, community group, sports team, gig night, all the rest of it. I kind of joke that it's a little bit like, you know, the Rule 34, which was famously, if it exists, someone has made porn of it. The equivalent to that is, if it's a thing, there is a queer interest WhatsApp chat in Bristol dedicated to it, and you will find, and actually we'll post the link to the queer directory on our website. It's an amazing, well, I will, hopefully we will. I'm looking at it. It's amazing, because if you want to find people sort of in your community, there's a couple of local focus meetup groups on it as well, and all that kind of stuff. And also meetup itself, Bristol's got a really active the website meetup where mm-hmm. people sort of meet to play board games or go to the cinema or whatever.
There's lots of board game things going on.
Bristol's got a huge meetup scene, so that's another place where you can find people. It's definitely growing. I think more and more people are wanting to find connection and wanting to get out.
Cool. It's a big doc, from what we're told. It's huge.
Yeah. It's very good.
I think students can suffer as well. I mean, when I was a student, it was...
When you're away from home, especially it's your first year.
Yeah.
As well,
Now, neither, I checked, neither UE nor the University of Bristol have a nightline at the moment, but they do have counselling free of charge at the students' unions, so you can go and apply for that, and mental health support.
Cool. But I mean, the main thing is don't sit and suffer.
Never do
something about
it. Never sit in silence and suffer. Yeah.
And March will come around quicker than you think.
Well, the daffodils are always coming up in my garden.
That's the next one, isn't it? Yeah. A bit of winter, then we start getting the daffodils.
Yeah.
Then you start seeing the sunshine later. And all of a sudden the clocks go forward. You're like, oh, I can open all the windows near the house out. And that makes me sound so old, doesn't it?
I'm looking forward to being able to switch the heating off and actually not spend vast amounts of money.
Yes. I mean, we've been quite lucky. It's been quite a mild winter by comparison. I know we've had a cold spell now, but it's normally a lot colder for a lot longer, isn't it? So, but we won't mention global warming. We'll be here all day if we start going down that route, won't we?
Well.
So, cool. But yeah, what we will do, in case if you are actually suffering and having issues and you would like someone to talk to, go find the show on our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt. You'll find it under the show, so we'll have the podcast up there, and we'll post up a whole load of resources, as well as I'll get the link off Lucy, and we'll post up the link to the Google Doc as well, so that you've got all that. So but don't stay glum, stay listening to us, and enjoy things. Stay with us, we'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Shout Out,
the Shout Out podcast.
Nice bit of Opus there.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I don't.
1985?
That's
4,
why.
I think.
84.
Yeah.
There we are.
That's why I don't remember it.
I was 6, so I remember I had it on cassette.
You'll have to tell Lara all about it when she next comes in.
No, I once said to Lara about an MP3. She said, "What's an MP3? I said, "You're joking."
Right.
She said, "I don't know what an MP3 is." I said, "Well, how the hell do you listen to your music?" She said, "Well, I just click play in Spotify." I was like, "Oh, right, okay." So we're even past the MP3 era now.
Wow.
So now, talk to me about gay ice hockey.
Yeah, well, you know, dear
I'm
listeners,
intrigued.
I'm not just a pretty news voice. I also, like everybody else,
like gay hockey players. Like,
well, yeah, okay, so yeah, so it came out. So there's this show called Heated Rivalry. Everybody else is talking about it. So we at Shout Out should probably follow the crowd and talk about it too. But it also really aligns with our interests because, yeah, it is a show about two ice hockey players who are rivals on the rink. And yet, off the rink, something very different. And yeah, it's a romance about two male ice hockey players who are gay. Yeah.
I was really surprised though, because talking to you off air, it sounds like I'm in the minority if I was gay and liked it, because it's actually all the straight women that really.
Yeah, so I should probably explain what it is. It's called Heated Rivalry. I mean, loads of outlets are talking about it, but I feel like we should, because we're a gay radio show, yeah, so yeah. I feel like we should talk about it too. And it's on Now TV. It came out last weekend, and it was a bit of a surprise sleeper hit. So it came out in Canada and the US at the end of the year. It was made with a budget of almost nothing. And it has done huge numbers and everyone's gone crazy about it. It's called Heated Rivalry. It's based on a set of romance novels that were written by this woman who I'm going to Google now because I didn't really I should really Google who the author is of Heated Rivalry. A set of romance novels, and there's like six in-universe romance novels all about this. But yeah, you're right, Andy. Apparently gay ice hockey is quite a genre for romance novels, and some of the biggest fans of this genre are straight women. They absolutely love it. Yeah.
No one's got any questions.
No one wants to ask me about the gay ice hockey show. None of you. You're all sort of.
I just want to go and watch it.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it's a really sweet. And I would say, and I think if you know, hopefully, it's not too spoilerish to put this, but you know, they do. It is a show. It's got drama because it has to have drama because, you know, you have to have a reason to watch. But I think, you know, it is very heartwarming and it's also, you know, really very sweet and quite tender as well, but also quite hot. There's quite a lot of, you know, hello.
But apparently,
the reason I heard someone else make this joke, so I'll repeat it. The reason it made for a very low budget, Terry, is because apparently all they needed was a couple of hotel rooms.
Yeah. So I've got an answer to your question.
Oh,
for
yeah,
you.
Okay, thank you.
It's based on a series of books called Game Changers, written by Rachel Reed.
That's it, Rachel Reed. Yeah, that's it. So yeah, go check it out.
As well as two hotel rooms, they're going to need a puck.
Yes, well, yeah, there's also some... There's
a good
some
ice language.
A good... Oh, all right then, all right. There is also, yeah, there's lots of ice
smut,
hockey.
Smut, honestly.
What?
Just it is take smut.
Anywhere.
It's not smut, that's what they hit.
We're talking about smut right now, Andy. It's okay. And they do hit. And I could go on and I could make a joke about smashing, but I won't. But the ice hockey scenes, I'm told, are quite good. They looked like they were playing ice hockey to me.
With the exception of that, are you an ice hockey fan?
I couldn't give a monkeys about ice hockey. Oh, right. No, I mean, like, you know.
I know you like your sport. You like your
it's
rugby.
Very, I do like rugby. Very yeah, I do violent. Like very violent. Very, I would have thought, not gay-like at all, is it? It's very big, butch and manly.
Well, I think that's kind of the appeal, Steph.
What are you trying to say?
That you're not big, butch and manly.
I think that's kind of the appeal, that ice hockey has got this extremely masculine and, dare I say, hetero image, and it is, you're right, it's violent, it's got all that kind of stuff, and yet these two guys have this very, very hot, very sexy, but also quite tender relationship, and it's sort of showing that men can, you know, they can go out and smash it on the ice, and then I won't finish that sentence, but you know, but they could also
be tender.
Arby get it.
Be
yeah,
tender.
They can be tender and loving with each other, and I think that might be what attracts a lot of people to it. Yeah. So the stars have just become, you know, they've become huge stars overnight.
Yeah, Hudson Williams and what's his name? I just had it in front of me. Hudson Williams and Francis Arnold.
No, Corey, someone.
Connor Story.
Yeah, that's it, Connor Story. So Hudson and Connor, they play the two leads, Shane and Ilya, and they're both on rival teams. So you know, deadly rivalry on the ice. It's like if you've got Now TV, and that is one problem. It's on a streamer that not necessarily everybody's got.
Oh, this is the annoyance with.
Well, if it's on
TV.
Now, it's on Sky as well.
It's also
Sky
on Sky.
Own,
yeah.
Own Now. So.
Yeah, it's also on Sky, and it's very bingeable. I think it's only six or seven episodes, so you can definitely binge the entire series in a day. It's a brilliant weekend watch. Go home and watch it. So yeah.
I think while we're talking about representation in media at the moment, we should probably mention Pluribus. Has anybody watched that?
Yeah, I watched that too.
It stars Rhea Seehorn, who you'd recognise if you watched Better Call Saul, which was the
love Breaking Bad, and I love her.
Yeah, she was fantastic in
awesome.
That.
Awesome.
She's the lead. She plays a lesbian author in. I'm not going to do many spoilers. There's a whole sci-fi. Post-apocalyptic weirdness going
on. It's a sci-fi type thing, isn't it?
It's very sci-fi. Very high concept.
But I think there's only six people that evade the invasion.
It's very few. She's one of them, and she's trying desperately to undo the apocalypse, which is brilliant. But there's also subplots of lesbian love, which is brilliant.
Absolutely. I think did she not just win a Golden Globe?
Yeah, she did
for Best Actress. So would recommend that. That's on Apple TV.
Another subscription. This is the problem. You need so many subscriptions, don't you? So.
Go home, Andy. Put on Sky and watch some gay ice hockey.
I've got Traitors and Star Trek to watch at the moment. So. Anyway, that's it for this week. If you want to hear any more of this show again or previous shows, they're all available as podcasts on all good podcast providers, as well as on our brand new website.
To listen again or download them, head to our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, I think we're looking at adoption.
We are.
We are. Oh, we'll see you then. Say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Shout out. LGBT radio for you.